Please take your Bibles, and I trust you do have a Bible with you. I hope you do. Not look on with your neighbor. And we're going to turn to 2 Kings, the 9th chapter division. 2 Kings chapter 9. I'm speaking on the subject of the divine law of retribution. The divine law of retribution. In other words, God has a law that there is going to be retribution. And if we do not keep his divine law, he's going to carry that out. That's the principle of the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. We're going to read quite a few verses so you'll get the background and the story today. And Elisha, the prophet, called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, Gird up thy loins, and take this box of oil in thine hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise from among his brethren, and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil, and pour it on his head, and say, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, Unto which of all us? Which one you talking to? And he said, To thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite, notice what he's going to do, thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. In other words, Jezebel, it had all of them killed. Now go to verse 23. And Joram turned his hands and fled and said to Ahaziah, that is these two kings, there's treachery, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew a bow with his full strength and smote Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow went out at his heart, and he sunk down in his chariot. That's what happens when an arrow goes through your heart, all right? Then said Jehu to Bidkar, his captain, Take up and cast him in the portion of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember how that when I and thou rode together after Ahab his father, the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, saith the Lord, and I will requite thee in this plat, this portion of land, saith the Lord. Now, therefore, take and cast him into the plat of ground according to the word of the Lord. But when Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. And Jehu followed after him and said, Smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Ibleam. And he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his sepulcher with his fathers in the city of David. And in the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, began Ahaziah to reign over Judah. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at the window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, Had Zimri peace, who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, Who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, Throw her down. So they threw her down, that is Jezebel, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trode her underfoot. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, Go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. And they went to bury her, But they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Not a very pretty sight. Wherefore they came again and told him and said, "This is the word of the Lord which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, they won't even recognize her, this is Jezebel." Now let's think about what we have before us. King Jehoram, who was Ahab's son, Ahab had been killed, and his blood had been shed, but King Jehoram was sick, and he was in Jezreel. He had been fighting with the Syrians, and he was wounded, and he went, of all places, to Jezreel. That, my friend, was not an accident of God. Ahaziah was king of Judah. The kingdom had been divided, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Judah was the southern kingdom. He was the king, and he went there to Jehoram. He shouldn't have been there. He was compromising. Just a little reminder to us that any time we compromise, we're going to pay a price in the long run. Now the watchmen saw these kings come. They had sent, Jehu had come. He drove a fast chariot, by the way. Sort of like Brother Rigsby in his truck. But he drove a fast chariot, and they looked out, and he said, "It looks like Jehu, because I can tell the way he's driving that chariot. That's the way he does, and that's the way Jehu was. Very energetic and going wide open like that." But he had already been anointed, and he was bringing with him an army, and he drove furiously. And having been anointed, he had the right to do what he did, but he was at Jezreel of all places, and he wound up there at the place that was Naboth's vineyard. You remember who Naboth was, don't you? Naboth was killed and stoned to death because of Jezebel's plot. And Ahab wanted that little land that was right against the castle there and the palace. And they got it. They got it in the most horrendous and horrible and terrible way. You would remember the story in the Word of God. But Ahab was Jehoram's father, and Jehu and Bidker were two that were here together, and they were two that had gone to possess the land of Naboth back when Naboth was killed. I want to interject this as sort of a footnote, not part of the main message, but just something that I think needs to be said. And that is, you should marry in God's will. Are you listening, young people? You should marry in God's will. The reason Ahab got in so much trouble was he married outside of God's will. He married Jezebel, who was of another group of people that were people that worshiped Baal. And Ahab knew that. And God had warned the kings in Deuteronomy 17:17 not to do that and not to accumulate wealth and riches and many wives. And Solomon made the same mistake later in his life. And Ahab had married outside of the will of God. May I just simply remind you, if you're a Christian young lady or a Christian young man, you marry a Christian young lady or a Christian young man. I've had people get mad at me for saying that from the pulpit, but my friend, I want to tell you, that is the principle of the Word of God, and I'm bound and determined to say it because it is God's principle. You may have to wait, but if that's God's will, you wait until God gives you the right one. And just because he's handsome and has a good education, he's going to make some money, that may not be the person. It may be, but it may not be. You need to marry and not be unequally yoked. I would even say it's wiser to marry somebody of your own faith, amen? Because you think alike, you rear your children alike, you're on the same page as you serve God together. But Ahab's sin found him out. I'm here to tell you, dear friend, I'm in love, that your sin is always going to find you out. You don't get away with it. Ahab probably thought for a long time he was, but one day, here comes that guy that nobody likes again, the preacher. Here comes that guy that tells the truth, the preacher. His name is Elijah. And Ahab met him, and he said, Ahab, all of this that you've done, you thought you got away with it. You didn't get away with it. You're going to die. Your blood's going to be shed. Your wife, your ancestors, your children, all of those, they're going to die because of what you have done. Because you chose to do that. Ahab repented right then, but all of the scars were there, and some other things came as a result of that. And God said, I'm going to let you, I'm not going to make it happen while you're alive. You're not going to have to see all of this, but you're going to die because you did not get away with your sin, worshiping Baal and leading Israel to worship Baal. And God was not pleased with that. And Elijah said, the dogs are going to lick your blood and Jezebel's blood by the walls of Jezreel. Now Jehoram came to him, and they rode out together, the two kings, and he asked the question as he came to Jehu. He said, is it peace? Have you come on friendly terms or unfriendly terms? Well, he just didn't know that Jehu was up to taking his life. And he drew that arrow back and shot him right between the shoulder blades and into his heart. And that answered the question. He didn't come in peace. He came doing what God had told him to do. And Elijah had prophesied 20 years before that it was going to happen. 20 years had passed. You see, a lot of Christians think, I'm getting away with it. God's not doing anything to me today. I didn't have a wreck. I didn't get sick. I didn't have a blowout. I didn't lose my money. All of those things are going okay. For 20 years, things went okay. But now is the time. Now is the judgment. It's going to come. And so it happened to Jehoram. And then he came to Jezebel, and she painted herself up and fixed her hair, dressed in the finest of her clothes, I guess, and came to the window and looked out. And the question she asked was sort of a smart-aleck question. When you know the history of the question that was asked there, that she asked. And whenever she asked that question, it was almost as if she came to the window like, I'm going to coax him and I'm going to trick him and he's going to like me and he's going to think I'm beautiful and we're going to work a deal out. But not Jehu, my friend. He knew that God had sent him to carry out his will. And so it didn't do her any good. Now, what can we learn from all of this story? One of the first things I think we can learn is this. Very simply, that sin not repented of must be punished. Let me say that again. Listen to me. Sin not repented of must be punished. That is true of an unsaved person, and that is true of a saved person who has not repented of their sin. You see, there's a law that God has given. There's a law in nature. There's a law in nations. There's a law of justice that God has given. And it's inbuilt in most of us. If somebody rapes somebody, we believe that justice ought to be done. Amen? I don't believe they ought to get off. I believe justice should be done. If somebody takes somebody else's life, they murder them, cold-blooded, premeditated murder, then I believe that's what they ought to face. If somebody robs somebody, then they ought to pay the price for messing up somebody else's materials. That's the law of God. God has built that into most of us, that justice should be done. By the way, I believe it's a pretty good deterrent if they carry out justice. They keep babying and coddling criminals and all of those kinds of things. And I personally believe in capital punishment because I believe the Bible clearly teaches it. Somebody says, well, capital punishment is not a deterrent. How many people do you know who have been capitally punished that kept doing what they were doing and murdered anybody else? Now, I know this is straight and strong, my friend, but God teaches those principles in His Word. The law of God is a law that is above and beyond the law of nations and the law of governments. It is the law of Almighty God. And the foundation of any sanity in any society, in any family, in any church, in any nation, must be founded upon the Word of God. in every age. In every age, the commandment is holy, just, and good, just like the Bible says. The Word of God says it's that way. Now, if we violate divine law, whether we like it or not, God doesn't have to check with any of us. If we violate the divine law of God, we are going to be punished, or to the Christian, chastisement would be a better word. But either way you cut it, it's the punishment of God upon us. Because here's the principle. Whatsoever a man soweth, a person, that shall he also reap. Now that's God's law, friend, and you're not going to change it, and God's not going to change it for you. None of us are going to be the exception of that rule. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're going to reap what we sow. I would encourage you today to look at your life. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing with your life, would you just pause in your mind a moment and let God speak to your heart and look at your life? Is there any sin in your life that is unrepented of? Any sin. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole gamut of sin, but just let me remind you that there's more to sin than committing adultery and getting drunk and being on drugs. Sin can be a bad attitude. Sin can be pride. Sin can be jealousy. Sin can be gossip. Sin can be a lot of things. Character assassination. But I'm just asking you, if you'd search your own heart and your own life, the private arenas and the private areas, everything in your life where you're involved, all of that, that other people may not be aware of, search your heart. By God's grace, I'll do the same and have done the same as I prepared this message. Is there any sin not repented of? And I want to tell you, if there is sin that you have not repented of yet, and you're still holding on to it and still practicing it and still allowing it in your life, you are going to be punished. And as a Christian, you are, until you repent, you're going to be chastised. You say, well, I've been doing this for a month or two or a year or two, and I hadn't seen anything. Remember, it was 20 years left. 20 years elapsed before this happened to Jezebel and Jehoram. 20 years they thought they were getting away with it. Whatsoever man soweth, he's going to reap. Look at our lives. Be sure that punishment is coming. Is there any sin? And I've named some of them, and may the Spirit of God speak to your heart about some others. But I can tell you this. The Bible says, and we know it, the principle is there. Be sure. Be certain about it. Your sin will find you out. Your sin. Oh, friend, that's so true. God knows it's true. Listen to me. It's true. It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. Your sin will find you out. Here's another principle. Punishment may be delayed. It may be delayed, and I've said something about it, but it is also going to be sure. All of that time period between there, and there are many, many things in the Bible that would remind us of that principle. Though it's delayed, it's sure. It's delayed, but it's going to come. It's delayed, but if it's not repented of, it's going to happen. And we have the story of the Jews. You remember when they were going across and they were making their trek to the Promised Land. And there was a group of people called the Amalekites who mistreated them, and they were tired, and they came and attacked them from the back, and they did them wrong. And there were 400 years that went by before God brought the justice upon the Amalekites, and he did, and they suffered greatly when the sentence was executed. Hitler thought he was getting away with it a long time, but the time came, it was over with. Saddam Hussein, who murdered or had murdered thousands upon thousands upon tens of thousands of people. But one day God said, that's enough. And I'm one that thanks God that we had a president, had enough courage to go in there and do something about it. I don't think it was just oil. I think it was a mean madman like this who was killing people. Osama bin Laden, his day is going to come. He may be hiding out in the caves right now, friend, but I'll tell you, one of these days, that man who has been responsible for acts of violence and terrorism all over the world, he's going to pay his dues to Almighty God. Is he savable? Yes, if he'll trust Jesus Christ, God will put it all under the blood. But if it's not repented of, he'll die and he'll split hell wide open because of the fact that he has rebelled against God. A mean, mad man. And you think, well, he's getting away with it. No, he's not getting away with it. And we try to deny our sin. We try to hide our sin. We try to cover up our sin. We do that many times, but we cannot do it. You know why? You see, I'm just your pastor. I don't know what you're up to all the time. Thank God I don't. Amen? My eyes are limited, and I can't jump in a car and follow everybody. I wouldn't want to anyway, but let me tell you something. God's eyes see perfectly. And God's eyes see everything. You say, well, the lights are out and I'm in the dark and nobody knows where we are. Oh, but God does. The eyes of Almighty God, I don't know how he does it, but he's God and he can do it. He sees everything. Everything you read, everything you watch, everywhere you go, every word you say, every act you commit, God knows about it and records it. And you say, well, my wife doesn't know, and it doesn't do any harm. God knows, and it does do some harm. On and on and on, we could talk about those things. But we are not going to escape the eyes of Almighty God. And if we're not judged here, my friend, we will be judged hereafter. We will be judged hereafter. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The believer will be judged for those things. If you think you might get away with it in secret now, you're going to face the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe that's going to be somewhat sobering. And those that are unsaved are going to face the white throne judgment of Almighty God. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. A lot of times it's strange, you read in the Bible, that there is an association between the place and kind of sin and the place and the kind of judgment. Many times they sort of happen in the same area, and the same type of judgment and chastisement of God comes. And here they were. They were not accidentally at Jezreel. They were not accidentally at the place where Naboth's vineyard was. This was designed by God. I read a story in preparing for this message about Cardinal Beaton was his name, and he condemned George Wisehart. And George Wisehart was one of the early and first Scottish reformers who took a stand for the truth, like Martin Luther and others. And because of that, Cardinal Beaton had him burned at the stake. And as he reclined himself on the palace wall on cushions, he watched him from that palace wall as he was being burned to death. A terrible thing. And I guess he thought he got away with it. But 3 months later, they went in and killed Cardinal Beaton. And as a result, they took his body and hung his body out over that very same palace wall so everybody could see that he had been killed. I'm simply saying, he thought he was going to get away with it. But at the same place where he reclined and watched a saint of God be burned to death was where he was hung out just a little bit later. Same kind in a way. At least here the same place. And that was not an accident. You see, God is reminding us in history and in his word of the principle of sowing and reaping. And so it is in with Naboth. Jezebel. Naboth was stoned to death. And his blood was splattered all over this area. And so it was with Jezebel. And so it was with Ahab. And so it was with this king that we're presently dealing with, that took place. In the Bible, one of my favorite stories in a way is the story of Haman and Mordecai. I like that story because Haman was such a smart aleck. such an arrogant person, and he just thought he had it all worked out. And he had had many people, many Jews killed, wanted to have all of them killed. And he wanted Mordecai to be killed on the gallows. But guess what happened? God turned the tables, and on the gallows, he lost his life. You see, that's the way it is. He was wrong, and he was a bad man, and God took care of it. Now, we may sin publicly. And if we do, usually God is going to judge us publicly. We may sin secretly, and God may judge us secretly. But many times God brings the secret to the surface. And how embarrassing it is. How many times have I, over the years, had to deal with some of that? And I know Dr. Barber has in the pastorate, of things that were being done in secret. But in time, God brought it to the surface, and it had to be dealt with. Had to be dealt with. It's divine law. It's God's law, the law of retribution. But wait a minute. You say, preacher, that's all negative, and that's all straight, and that's all hard and harsh. Well, it's the Word of God, and it's the principle. And so we're right about it, and we have to tell you about it, but I've got some good news for you. Some real good news. As surely as there's retribution to Almighty Just God, there is also mercy. There is mercy. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad to be able to say to you today that there is mercy for every sinner. And you don't have to die and go to hell, sinner friend. God loves you and gave His Son for you. And Christian, if you will confess your sin and get it right with God, God will forgive you. And God will be merciful to you. I'm glad for the mercy of God, aren't you? Grace, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. Praise God, now I see. You know why? Mercy. The grace and mercy of God. But if you will not repent and will not take the mercy of God, you will surely face the retribution of God. If you as an unsaved person will not get saved, you will face eternal separation from God in hell. And if you as a believer go on in your sin and you will not stop it and you will not judge it and you will not give it up, whatever it may be, mark her down, sooner or later, you're going to face the bad results of that. The wise thing to do is repent and get right with God. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, and we're going to have an invitation, as we always do at Worth Baptist Church. I want to ask you a question. Listen carefully, very carefully. Listen, every head is bowed and eyes are closed a moment. Do you know, can you say for sure, if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Can you say that for sure? If you know that in your heart, thank God for it. But if you cannot in your heart say, yes, I am absolutely sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Friend, come to Christ and repent and make things right with Him. God in His general grace has not judged you yet. But the moment you die, and who knows when that's going to be? Who knows? The moment you die, you'll face the retribution of God. Wouldn't it make sense? Wouldn't it be wise to be saved today? Believer, God's spoken to you. You do what God has said. Father, thank you that there is mercy and grace. You're a God of justice, a God of righteousness, a God of holiness. But you sent your Son to die that we might have justice satisfied and grace experienced. And I pray today that if there's somebody here without Jesus, without their sins washed and under the blood, that today, this day, that they would not gamble on eternity, but come and be forgiven, that they might not face the wrath and retribution of you. I pray for Christians here that may be dealing with some things in their lives, and they know that you've spoken to them, and they need to make it right. Oh God, help them to understand. If they will, you'll forgive them. We know if we confess our sins, you are just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we won't, then we face the consequences. God help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.